James chapter number 5, and I'll ask you to stand with me as we read just a few verses in 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're going to talk about getting clean this morning, a subject that 7 and 5-year-old boys don't care to discuss. Amen? Anybody know what it's like to have boys? They don't like to get clean. They look at you when you say it's bath time like, what's the problem? Why are we doing this again? I did it yesterday, right? We're talking about getting clean this morning, and we heard about it in the song. And I want to be very clear with everybody this morning. The purpose of baptism, and I want to make this abundantly clear, is not to wash away sins. The only thing that the Bible says washes our sins away is what Jesus Christ did when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And that's the only thing that will take away our sins. So why is it that we're doing this? The reason that we're doing this, according to the Bible, to the New Testament, the practice is this. Once somebody has been saved, they've placed their faith in Jesus Christ, and they're now relying on his righteousness and not their religion and not their own righteousness, but what Jesus did for them. Once they've done that, they step out from death and they step into life. And so what baptism is for is to show that transformation on the outside, to show on the outside what took place on the inside when they got saved. The reason that we bury them and put them in the water like this, and the reason that we hold the teenagers longer just to make sure it took, amen? But we put them down in the water and we raise them back up. The reason for that is because Christ died and he was what? He was buried. And he did not stay buried. What did he do? He rose again. And so that's what baptism is for. But I want to discuss with you the idea of getting clean, because it is a very important one. And as it relates to eternity, it may be the most important subject in your life. Look, if you would, at 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to learn about a man named Naaman who had to get cleansed from a disease. 2 Kings chapter 5, look at verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man. He's a great man. With his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. I don't know about you guys, so far his resume sounds pretty good. I mean, mighty, honorable, great. These are things that we use to tribute others with praise. But I want you to notice at the end of verse number 1, there's a comma, and after that comma, a disjunctive conjunction for any English majors here. All right, Miss Virginia, I paid attention in school. She was my English teacher. And here's the word. The word is but. But he was a leper. He had a disease that was killing him. Great man, mighty man, honorable man, but he was dying. The Bible says in verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So here's this little Hebrew girl, this little Jewish girl that was taken out of captivity, and she's there serving Naaman's wife. Look at verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, that's the woman that she served, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Assyria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. 10 changes of raiment, by the way, teenage girls, that's more than enough for summer camp. We have a 50-pound limit on each bag. Please remember that, all right? And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes, he tore them up, and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. The king of Israel is like, I can't fix this problem. I can't solve this guy's issue. And he was right. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him now come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." I want to skip a few verses. Get down, if you would, to verse number 14. Now, there's a journey. We're going to get into this journey a little bit. There's a journey that Naaman goes through to get to this point, but I want you to notice verse 14. Because remember, he's a great man, an honorable man, a mighty man, but he's a leper. He's a diseased man. The Bible says in verse 14 that when he went down and dipped himself. Teenagers, remember summer camp? The dip, dip, dippy, dip, dip. All right? Don't look at me like I'm crazy. You got to laugh right there. You guys know what I'm talking about. Isaac is like, "Nah, man, I don't know what you're talking about." All right? "Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God," and watch it, "his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." He was clean. Brother Sean, open us up in a word of prayer, if you would. Amen. Amen. Be seated if you would. By the way, Brother Sean has done the church a favor and has laid out on the table on your way out, if you'd like to, on your way out to get ice cream, if you'd like to go ahead and grab some gospel tracks. I'm going to a soccer game today, so I'm going to take this track right here, all right, that gives the gospel, and try to get some of those out. Take advantage of the liberty you have, all right, for us to beat our chests and talk about the liberties in America, and as Christians to not take advantage of it would kind of be like missing the boat, all right? So let's take advantage of that today. But look, getting back to the message, I want to remind you, just looking at Naaman, he's a good man. He's a mighty man. He's honorable. There's a lot of good things you can say about him, but he's dirty. And the reason that he's dirty is he's got something wrong with him from the inside out. Now leprosy is something that people back in the olden days, if someone had leprosy, they'd walk through the town, they'd put their hand over their mouth, and they would say, "Unclean! Unclean." Does anybody remember what it was like last year when someone coughed in public? Someone's like, and you're like, and everyone's like, "Why didn't they just stay home?" You know, you know, all that kind of thing. Just that was what leprosy was like back then. And it was a big deal if someone had leprosy. And that's why Naaman is kind of stuck in his life. He's accomplished great things, but inside and outside, all the way around, he just feels dirty. Can I say this? We like things clean. You know what the number one enemy to a clean car is? Little humans. Can I get a witness? You find old cheeseburgers thrown under there. You know, you find toys that they were looking for. They're stuffy animals. You find all kinds of mysteries are solved when you take your car to the car wash. I can't tell you how many times I've taken my wife's car to the car wash, and you know, I go to this one off of Chambers and Mississippi. Anybody ever been to that one? Finish Line Car Wash. And you know, I go there. Now listen, if you want to get a detail, I'm not talking about a car wash. A detail, see that man right there, Brother Leonard, all right? All right, listen, if you don't like your car and you're kind of like at a place in your life where you're like, "Oh, I wish I could get a new car," but there's nothing wrong with your car, spend the money to go get it detailed and you'll fall in love all over again. All right, and that was for free, I promise, all right? Yeah, you got it. But I'm serious, man. I take my car over there, and then they come. These guys come, and they go, "We found this, and we found this, and we found this." And I mean, all kinds of interesting things. You say, why? Because they're cleaning the car. As you clean the car, you find all kinds of stuff that was in there buried under the seats. There's been times where people are like, "I can't find my AirPods." It was in there. "I can't find my phone." It was in there. "I can't find my wallet." It was in there. The number one enemy to a clean car is little humans. We went to Rosie's Diner. Anybody been there before? I love Rosie's Diner. One of the favorite places in the world to go have breakfast. And I don't want to, I mean, honestly, it is. It is the best place for me. That's my opinion. And I've never had this happen before, but I was drinking coffee. When I drink coffee, I drink coffee. And it's like, you know, by this point, it's probably the third cup, and they've come by and refilled and refilled and refilled it. And by the third time I'm drinking, I started looking in the cup. And as I drank it down and the line was going down, I noticed some stuff that was clinging on to the side of the cup. And it was like green. Yeah. And all I could say after that was like, thank you, Lord, for building immunities, right? Because whatever that was, if I'd known it before I drank all that, I probably would have been upset. And you know what I did? I said, hey, can I get another cup? And they were real gracious. They felt very bad. But nobody continues drinking out of that cup going, yeah, I just like it like that. I like it dirty. We like things clean. Can I get a witness? I mean, you want, listen, when you go to the hospital, you want to make sure whoever's working on you, especially if it's a surgery, that they have washed and they have lathered. And listen, I mean, nothing like 2020 to tell everybody to take us back to kindergarten to see signs everywhere that say, wash your hands for 20 seconds. I've gone into some bathrooms that say, sing the alphabet while you wash your hands. A, B, C, D. But you know, the reason we do that is to get all the stuff that's there that you can't see washed away. Just because nobody else sees it doesn't mean it's not there. And so it is with your soul, your eternal soul. Listen, the Bible says that God made you. You're not a random accident. You're not some accident from the cosmos from billions of years ago. God put you here for a reason. God designed you and created you, and he gave you the spark of life, and he gave you that, and he created us in his image. We are a body, a soul, and a spirit. The party that lasts forever, your soul, is either going to be dirty with sin or clean in the sight of God. This man had a disease that was killing him slowly. You say, how do you know anything about leprosy? I looked it up, did some studies. I knew some missionaries that dealt with it before. And the incubation period can last 2 to 10 years. You could have it for that long and not even know it. And then all of a sudden you get like a little blemish on your hand. You get a little spot that shows up there. And before you know it, it spreads to your whole entire body. Leprosy is one of the greatest pictures in the Bible of sin. Do you know that? Because it kind of is below the surface. It manifests itself usually in just one spot. Then it spreads everywhere. It's a tedious process to identify. According to the Old Testament, there were laws and processes by which the nation of Israel would have to come. If someone thought they had leprosy, they would go to the priest. The priest would examine them and go, yep, you got it. And then they go to their house, and if they saw certain things in the house, they go, man, we got to tear all this out. It's all got to get cleaned up. Why? Because it spreads to everything that it touches. Can I say this? The problem today is not poverty. Listen to me. The problem today is not even social justice. The real issue that is the issue of all issues in your life and in the society's life and in all the world is something called sin. And let me say this. All of us are born with a sinful nature. That is the reason why no one has to teach you how to lie. No one has to teach you how to be selfish. No, all that stuff just comes naturally. We've got to teach the kids, please and thank you, and it's not all about you, and think about others. Why is that? Because there's something in us that says, I want it, and I want it now. You say, what is that? Sin. And listen, let me say this. We're born with that nature, but nobody has put a gun to your head, Brother Joe, or to my head to say, you better sin right now. I and you and all of us have chosen sin. And sin is part of our nature, and we express that. And it's buried oftentimes beneath the surface, and because it doesn't manifest itself the same way as others do. Here's what people will say. Well, I'm not as bad as the guy in death row. I'm not as bad as the person. I never killed anybody. I never did anything like that. But you're still a sinner. You say, well, I'm a good person. Yeah, you might be mighty. You might be honorable. You might even be great. But you're a leper. You say, how do you know that? Because every one of us in this room suffers from a condition called sin. You know what they told you about COVID? You might have it, not know it, and pass it on to someone else. And I don't want to get all the different things and opinions everybody has about it. But that was a big thing. Like, you don't even know. You may be asymptomatic, and you might spread it to everybody else. That, you know what? You know, that's like sin. It is there, it is beneath the surface, and it may not explode on everybody at one time, but it's the problem of all problems. You want to know why we have jails and why we have hospitals and why we have everything that we have? It's because when sin entered the world, death followed right behind it. I can't wait, guys. I don't know about you, but I cannot wait until I get to a place where there's no hospitals, no jails, no debt collectors, no IRS. Can I get a witness? No taxes, no work. I mean, just eternal bliss forever and ever and ever. And you know what? I got to tell you something, guys. The only people that get in are those that have been washed clean. Can I point out to you that Naaman could not heal himself? And Naaman could not fix his own problem. You say, what is sin? Sin is a small three-letter word that's kind of been extracted out of our society. And we've replaced biblical truth with psychology. So when people lash out and they do things that are sin, we have different labels for them. But I'm here to tell you that sin is still sin. And just because I watched my dad do something that was wrong, it does not mean that I am predetermined and predestined to do that same thing. And then when I do it and someone calls me on it, I say, well, that's what I grew up with. It's still a choice. It's still sin. And when you do something, you say, what is sin? The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. You say, well, who is God? He's God. Who is he to tell me how to live my life? Well, I guess that's kind of how it works. When you're the one that creates everything, then that means the creation is accountable to the creator. And God's gave us his words. Let me tell you, you've got three things right now that tell you when sin is wrong. You've got creation that points to a God. You've got your conscience that tells you. That's why the first time teenage boys get together looking at stuff they shouldn't look at, you know what they do before they look at it? They look around. The first time you put something in your body that didn't belong there, you know what you did? You looked around. You're like, well, why is that? I don't know. I just don't want mom and dad to say. I don't want so-and-so to know. I don't. Why do you feel bad? If it's okay, why do you feel bad about it? You say, oh, societal dictates. No. You've got a conscience that tells you. When you're about to lie, that's why your eyes get shifty and you start to perspirate. You say, why is that? Something tells you it's not good. You say, oh, those are just evolutionary tendencies and we've evolved. And let me ask you this question. If the closest thing to us is a gorilla, why do they not have a problem with bashing another gorilla's brains out? You know what? You know why you think it's wrong? Because you're made in the image of God and there's a conscience inside of you and it tells you that is wrong. You may not know the label. The Bible calls it sin. The Bible says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. You say, what does that big thing mean? What that means is this. God gave us his thoughts and his words, and he said, this is what is right. This is what is wrong. Sin is basically taking what God said is right and going, I don't care. Let me ask you a question for those of you that are parents in this room. When you give your kids instruction, they basically say in so many words, I don't care. Well, how do you respond to that? And then when the creator of the universe responds in a way that you don't like, you're like, well, who is he to judge? He's the judge. He literally is the judge. I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. He is. Do you know what sin does? Sin spreads. You know, we try to do with sin, we try to cover it up and say, it's no big deal. I got this. I can control it. You can't control sin. It is out of control in the world today. That is why we have the world in the shape that it's in. And I'm going to tell you right now, what we're trying to do in society is get rid of these ideas of God and get rid of these ideas of absolute right and wrong. And by doing that, we become the creator. We become the standard bearers. And here's the problem. If my standard is different than yours and different than someone else's down the road, who's right? Someone has to build the standard. And if someone's building the standard, can I say this? I'd rather it be God than one of us. You know why? Because we are all flawed, imperfect, sinful human beings. You say, preacher, you're absolutely, I am, as the Bible says, I'll throw myself up there and I'll say, I am chiefest of sinners. You go, oh, surely not. You're a preacher. Talk to my wife. She'll tell you, I'm very human. Amen. And actually, now I think about it, don't talk to my wife. All right, but what I'm getting at is this. I want you to understand every single one of us in this room has been touched with this disease. And it's not COVID. It's not physical leprosy. It's a spiritual leprosy of the soul. You know what the Apostle Paul says? He says, sin that it might appear sin. In other words, us trying to simply cover it up doesn't take it away. Listen, if you go to the doctor and you've got cancer and he just says, hey, no big deal, just cover it up, and you die 6 months later, you're going to go back and you're going to say, your family will go, why didn't you tell us? And let me tell you something. As a preacher, do you know what I want you to understand? My goal this morning is not to be offensive, but I want you to understand that this book is the Word of God, and it has always been right. It will always be right. You say, well, that sounds kind of braggadocious. It's just because you're religion, you think you're right, and everybody else is wrong. Let me tell you something. I think I'm wrong half the time as well. I'm not pointing to me. I'm pointing to what God has to say. And I can tell you this much, he's been right every time. You know why I know this book is not like every other religious book? Because from the first moment, from Genesis chapter 1, you are dealing with the nature of man, and it doesn't sugarcoat anything. It tells you about murder. It tells you about someone taking another man's wife. It tells you about everything that is involved with human nature. And you know what it points to? A problem that every one of us has. If you don't believe we have a sinful nature, Where's Miss Dina? She's oh, there. Was she Abuelita? She's back there? Okay. Don't feed that baby when it starts screaming. Oh, you'll see human nature come out. If that baby had a gun, they'd shoot you. I mean, human nature is feed me now, give me. Listen, it's part of who we are. It's ingrained in us. And what you have to understand about leprosy, like a lot of diseases like that, what ends up happening is it starts to attack the organs. Oftentimes, before it spreads to all the body, and you start losing digits of your body. I remember seeing a video of Christians in Thailand who were lepers. They were actual lepers. Leprosy is still a thing in certain parts of the world. Maybe not here in America, thank God, but it's still around. And I remember in the 90s watching a video of Christians in Thailand, and they would grab with the nubs of their arms, they would grab a magnifying glass, and they would flip the pages of the Bible, and with that magnifying glass, with the one eye that hadn't been consumed by leprosy yet, and their face just half eroded, they would bend over and they'd read what they could out of the Word of God. Hey, Christian, why didn't you read your Bible this week, by the way? And here is this person, and I look at that, and physically speaking, it was just gnarly. It wasn't something to look at and go, oh, that belongs on the cover of People magazine. You know why? Because leprosy, let me tell you this, sin, when it spreads, is not beautiful. Sin, when it attacks the body, sin, when it destroys, it brings forth death. And I'll tell you this, there is an expiration, there is a shelf life for us as children of our parents, blaming our parents for our sins. I mean, once you grow up and you're an adult, you're making the choices. We can't do that forever. Blaming society, blaming our parents, blaming our spouse, blaming your ex-spouse, blaming your coworkers, and blaming God for your sin is not going to work. Can I give you some things that Naaman did that I believe helped lead him to getting clean? Look, if you would, at verse number 1, at the end of the verse. You know what point number 1 is? Acknowledge the problem. You want to get cleaned up? Acknowledge the problem. Hey, listen, if I want a clean car, I have to first acknowledge that the car is dirty. Does that make sense? I got to go, hey, we got a problem. It needs to be fixed. The resolution is getting it cleaned up. The acknowledgement of Naaman's problem is found in verse 1. The Bible says he was a leper. Notice he had a career. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria. Notice he had character. He was an honorable man. Notice he was courageous. The Bible says he was a mighty man in valor. But he had a condition. And that condition was leprosy. And with all the accolades we could throw at Naaman, there was still this glaring issue in his life that would never allow him to live the life that he wanted to its fullest. It's a great picture of us as people. We may be great people as far as other people are concerned. People may look at us and go, man, what a great family. What a great life. Look, he treats his neighbors well. But there's still something wrong. You say, what's that thing that's wrong? I have sinned. What do I do about my sin? You say, well, what's the big deal? All of us have sinned. Yeah, but I'm telling you right now, you've got to be clean to get into those pearly gates. You say, well, if we're all dirty, then isn't it God's fault? Yeah, you might throw that out there, but I'm going to tell you this right now. He's made a way for you to get cleaned up. The Bible says all of sin. Here's what people do. I haven't, really sinned. I'm not that bad of a sinner. You know, I have a good job. I have a good life. I'm an honest person. I pay my taxes. I'm decent to people. You know, but guys, if you went to the doctor and they said, look, you got this problem and it's going to kill you, you go, but wait, 90% of my organs are working awesomely. Yeah, but this problem's going to kill you. It wouldn't work. It doesn't fix the issue. You could be 95% healthy, but that 5% could kill you. You understand that? And what I'm talking about is, look, on the outside, as far as people are concerned, people may look at your life and they may go, man, great guy, great lady. But deep down inside, there's an issue that hasn't been resolved yet. It's an issue of sin. How do I get clean from my sin? Can I tell you how you're not going to do it? You're not going to do it by getting in the city of Aurora water. You're not going to do it by stepping into what has been nicely decorated, but if we're being honest, is a horse trough for water. That's not how you do it. Let me tell you something. You cannot get rid of your leprosy of sin by trying to live a good life. That what that does is it masks the issue. How do I cure the disease? Do you realize in the medical field, a lot of the stuff that's prescribed is treating symptoms and not really getting to the root issue? I am not a doctor. Do not walk out of here and say, Pastor Adrian said I should quit taking my pills. I did not say that. You've got a doctor. I'm not him. I'm simply saying, as far as the medical field is concerned, so much of what we put in here is to treat the symptoms without treating the problem. Do you know what religion does? Religion treats the symptoms. I went to church. I feel good. Yeah, but are you saved? Have your sins been washed away? Do you know that you're clean in the sight of God? Not a standard that will change. Listen, I can ask Jose, what do you think a good guy is? He'll give me his idea. I'll ask Lacey, what is a good guy or a good gal? What does that look like? I'll ask Brother Chad. I'll say, Brother, what do you think is a good person? I'll ask Brother Sean, what would it take to be called a good person? And everyone will have a different opinion. That's why you have religion. You go, preacher, it doesn't make sense that you're a pastor and you're knocking religion. I'm not trying to give you religion. I'm trying to give you a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I'm trying to get you to understand, for your sins to go, to be considered, to be cleansed from your sins, it is not going to be an act of religion, but an act of your will saying, Lord, I understand that I'm a sinner. There is something wrong with me. That is step number one. You know what they say about addicts? The first problem with an addict is they got to admit they got a problem. Right? I mean, you know, the 12-step program, whatever the programs are, it doesn't matter what it is. First step is acknowledge there's a problem. Listen, if my house is on fire and I'm going to go, I got plans tomorrow. I've got tea time with Brother Jose. Tea time's not this kind of tea, all right? I mean, this kind of tea, all right? And I don't even know, I can't even do that right. So whatever that, golf, imagine golf, all right? Imagine it in your mind. I can't do it right. I have no idea what I'm doing. All right, by the way, I'm going to delay that as long as I can. I'm worried that if I play with you, you will lose all respect for me being your pastor. I'm going to be like, you know, what was the guy that, you know, what the one movie from, what, anyways, doesn't matter, all right? Here's what I'm getting at, guys. What I'm getting at is this. All of us have to learn to acknowledge, step one is, I've got an issue. Hey, if your marriage is on the rocks, you have to learn to admit that. If there's a problem in your kid's life, you have to learn to admit that. If you've got a problem with people and relationships, you have to admit it. And you can't just start by pointing at everybody else. The first thing I do is, what can I do to fix this? And as a sinner, the problem is this. I can't take my sin away. Why? Because I'm a sinner, and any sacrifice I'd bring to God would be defiled and touched with my sin. But I've got to acknowledge there's a problem. Go with me to Acts chapter 10, would you? New Testament, Acts chapter number 10. If you're visiting with us, you're in a Bible-believing church. What that means is this. We want to see what God has to say about stuff. So we're going to look at the Bible and see what it has to say. I don't want you to come to church and, like, I give you a nice illustration and talk about something that happened to me yesterday for 30 minutes and then, like, go home with no Bible. That will do you no good in your life. All right, look at Acts chapter number 10 and look, if you would, at verse number 1. I want to point out to you from the New Testament a man that was kind of like Naaman. His name is Cornelius. The Bible says in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. It's not a music group. That's a band of soldiers, right? Like Band of Brothers. Devout man, verse 2. One that feared God, a devout man. Let me just point out to you in verse 1, he's got a good career. He's a centurion. Notice in verse 2, he's a devout man. He's got character. Notice in verse 2, he feared God. He's religious. Notice in verse 2, he gave much alms. He gave to charity often. And notice in verse number 2, he prayed to God always. He desired to know God. There was one problem. There was one thing missing in Cornelius' life. He had a lot of good stuff, we could say. If you're doing a religious resume for somebody, you could go, man, Cornelius, good dude. Here's the problem. He'd never been born again. He'd never had his sins cleansed. He'd never been, as the Bible uses the term, as we use the term, saved. He was religious. He was going through the motions. He did everything the best he could. But there was something in the back of his mind that said, man, how do I get rid of the stuff that I know that I've done wrong that nobody else knows about but me and God? That stuff that keeps me up at night, that I kind of worry about it, because when I realize I've done things, I've hurt people, I've said things, I have broken God's law. He is holy, he is righteous, and I've gone against that. How do I get that right? You know what Cornelius' problem was? He didn't know how to do it. He was doing everything he knew to do. That might be you. You're going to church, being a good person, doing the best you can. But can I say this? Those things are not enough. Some of you might be thinking, well, I know what the answer is. He's going to try to get me to come and be a part of his church. That has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it at all. We'll talk about the solution in a moment, but I want you to first off acknowledge there's an issue. You know what I can do? I can look at every single one of you straight in the face and say, I am a sinner. I have no qualms about that whatsoever. You say, why? Because it's true. You know, the first step to getting help is saying, I've got a problem. You know what Naaman had to do? He had to realize he was a leper. Yeah, but I'm a mighty man. Yeah, but you're a leper. Yeah, but I got a great career. Yeah, but you're sick. Yeah, but I'm honorable and I'm courageous and I'm a mighty man of valor. Yeah, but you're sick and you're dying. All those things are good things, but they don't address the issue. And the issue is, you are a sinner before God, not before me, but before God. I am a sinner before God. There's something wrong with us. And it's not just a matter of our upbringing. It's not just a matter of our experiences as children. It's a matter of something being in us from day one. Something that says, I want what I want, even if God says no. It's called sin. You know what we say? Salvation is as simple as ABC. Admit, number one, that you're a sinner. That's the first step. You know, Simon Peter fell before the Lord one time and he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. You know, that's what Isabella and Michaela did. They understood. They were sinners. I'm thankful for their testimony. Sweet young ladies. You know what they said? We're sinners. We understand that. You know what breaks my heart? That young people can get that before some of us adults do. I'm not that bad. You're a sinner. When you stand before God and all the thoughts of your mind and all the things that you've said that nobody else knows about and all the things you've desired that you couldn't even act on, but if you could have acted on them, you would have made a mess of your life, and the list goes on. There's things in your life that nobody knows about but you and God. Those sins, the Bible says, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You say, preacher, you're old-fashioned. You believe about that judgment stuff? Here's what I know. If somebody breaks in here, breaks into our church, steals the piano, steals all the stuff, and we find that person, we want them to either give it to us back or they're going to jail. If someone breaks into your house and they kill your family, light the house on fire, and they stand before the judge, you want to see justice happen. That's what the world is fixated on. Justice, justice, justice. And yet when it comes to us standing before God, we're like, hey, God, all that justice stuff, it matters out there, but not with me. Let me tell you something. God's a just God. And just because he lets stuff go down here doesn't mean people won't give account of it someday. The Bible says every one of us who give account of himself to God is appointed a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And what I don't want is to stand before God dirty. I appreciate Sonny and all those that have taken the step to say, yep, I'm thankful he got saved, man. That's awesome. God can do some great things with your life. Follow him. I'm telling you, this is a first step in that direction, buddy. But there's so much more that God has planned for your life. I look at our young people and go, man, I thank God that they're getting saved when they're younger, and God can save them from a lot of trouble. But you know, the first step to them getting saved was saying, I'm a sinner. Can you acknowledge that? That thief on the cross. I mean, guys, look, the blame game has been going on since day one. Adam sins, and God comes to Adam, and he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam's like, well, I'm kind of hiding right now, Lord. Why are you hiding? Well, I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? And he comes out, and he sowed some fig leaves on him. And God talks to him. He goes, what did you do? You know the first thing out of Adam's mouth is, the woman that thou gavest me. Right? The blame game is not a new thing. It's been going on for a long time. I mean, it's really simple. It's really easy when you're called on the spot and you realize you're a sinner. It's easy to go, yeah, but the Aaron, the brother of Moses, when he builds the golden calf and Moses confronts him, he goes, the people, they wanted it. When God confronts King Saul, you know what he says? Oh, you know the heart of the people. It's easy to shift blame, but at the end of the day, listen, there were two thieves on the sides of Jesus Christ, one on this side and one on this side. And when that day started and Jesus is hanging there and the crowds are jeering at him and they're spitting on him and the soldiers have whipped him and he's hanging there for our sins, you got a thief on both sides. And when that day starts, they're both railing on him. But something happens after a while. One of those thieves looks at the other one and says, hey, man, knock it off. This guy's different than us because we're getting what we deserve. We're sinners. He's not. You know what that man had to admit? He was a sinner. You know, Jesus turns and says to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't even have time to get baptized, but he got saved. He got in. You say, why? Because he believed on someone that could make him clean. Look, if you would, go back, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 5. We've got to move quickly. We got barbecue and fireworks and baptizing people and ice cream and all kinds of stuff. So we've got to move. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Look, if you would, at verses 2 through 4. You say, what happens in verses 2 through 4? A little girl speaks up and says, hey, I know how this problem could be fixed. Naaman needs to see the prophet in Israel. And basically what that little girl does, listen, she's a little girl. She's been taken out of captivity. That means that her family probably was killed in the process. She was isolated from her home. And you know what's a great picture of? It's a picture of a believer that in today's age, living in the world, you may not feel like your influence matters, but at least she opened her mouth. And by her opening her mouth, she was able to put a domino effect into order that led to Naaman getting cleaned up. Believer, never quit opening your mouth about Jesus Christ. The world is going to get louder about their beliefs. You need to be that much louder. I don't mean rude or offensive, but solid and confident in what you believe. Do you not have the greatest thing in the world in salvation? Aren't you glad your sins are washed away? Heaven is your home and God is your Father. Let someone know. You know what that little girl did? She just said, hey, I know how this problem can get solved. But do you know what Naaman had to be willing to do? He had to be willing to listen. You know what's hard to do when you think you've got it all figured out? To listen to a little kid say, I know how to solve the problem. Here's a military man, a career military man, who's won in several battles and several campaigns. He's made a name for himself. And the only person that seems to have an answer about how he can get his leprosy resolved is a little kid. Now, if you're Naaman, do you listen? Be hard to, wouldn't it? It'd be hard to go, I've had education, I've got experience, what do you got? Well, I can just tell you that God works in that prophet. And I tell you, if you want to get help, you go to him. You know what it's a great picture of? It's a picture of someone going, look, I may not even be able to explain it all, but I know this. If you want to get help, you go see Jesus. I don't have all the answers. Some of you believers in here, you're younger in the Lord. You've not been saved that long. And you go, man, I don't have all the answers to all the questions that my family, my friends have. But I know this much. Jesus saved me. Can I say this? That's all you need to know. Man, start with that. If you want to make a difference and an influence in this life, that's where you start. You know what Jesus says? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, we tell our kids all the time, you got two ears and one mouth. Right? Isn't that what we tell kids? You know, two ears and one mouth. You know, listen twice as much as you speak, right? You know what Jesus says? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark chapter 4, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Luke chapter 8, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know what that tells me? The Lord wants us to listen to the message. The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I don't need to listen to anybody. I'm just do my own thing. Now, Jenny's getting ready to go to the military, boot camp, right? Graduate maybe in October, Lord willing, you know? And don't let that sweet little disposition fool you. She's a raging war machine on the inside. But you know what she's got to learn to do? Listen to instruction. Oh, and you get off the bus. And you're going, well, why is this idiot yelling at me? Right? And you're going to have to learn to decipher and listen to the voice and go, look, I'd rather do it this way. Okay, boys, here's what we want you to do. This is a military project. Move these rocks from here to here. Yes, sir. Move them. Officer comes back. All right, I want you to move those rocks from here back to here. That doesn't make, hey, get down and give me 50, right? You say, why? Because it's whatever the leading officer's charges. Can I say this? It's very easy for us as people who've been educated and who in our own minds have been enlightened and who we think we've got the right answers. It does not matter what you are taught or what you believe. If it contradicts what God says, the best thing to do is put it aside and go, what does God have to say about this? Let me tell you something. Religion oftentimes derails people. Here's what religion does. It says, do this, join the church, get baptized, do these good things, and by doing those good things, you are kind of working your way up to heaven. Here's the problem with that. The Bible says it is not by works, lest any man should boast, but rather you are saved by grace. That is the unmerited. That means you couldn't deserve it. The unmerited favor of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Religion says do. Jesus says I did it for you. You just have to receive it. But you know what you have to be willing to do? You have to be willing to listen. Hey, you're listening to somebody today. You might be listening to yourself. You might be listening to listening to media. You might be listening to religion. You might be listening to what they call science in the world today. You might be listening to a number of things. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're listening to somebody. Why not give God a try? You know what? You know what I learned about God? It's all about free will. He's not going to make you do anything. God's not insecure. You know, people that make other people do things are insecure. You know that? Someone that wants to control your life is insecure. God does. He's not insecure. He's not sitting in heaven going, I sure hope they like me. I hope they believe in me, because if they don't, poof, I'm gone. God is God. And I mean this as graciously and charitably as I can say. He's not worried what we think about him, because it doesn't change who he is. Remember the old bumper sticker? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. You can scratch that middle part out. God said it. That settles it. And God is who he is. You go, well, that just seems so dogmatic. Guys, if you knew that there was a cure for cancer and you told nobody about it because you didn't want to come off too dogmatic, that would be something that would weigh on your conscience. It weighs on me to know that there are people around me who I love and care about, and I want them to understand that even if you're a good person, listening to yourself and listening to religion will not do it. Be willing to hear what God has to say. Can I say that the gospel is really simple? Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. But you know what? The message is predicated upon this need, a need for people that will preach the message, and the need for those who will listen to the message. Do you know what Naaman did? He heard what this little girl had to say. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. We got a problem here. Houston, we have a problem. You say, what's the problem? Well, you know, I thought that salvation would be me being a good person so that I could show God how good I was when I got to heaven, and he would recognize me, and he'd give me all the accolades people gave me, and then he would usher me in. Look, if you would, at verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall be, come again to thee, and thou shalt be what? You know what happens here? Let me give you the synopsis. This guy's sick. He's diseased. He's been told, go to the prophet. He goes with this big entourage and a bunch of gifts. And he gets to the prophet's house, and the prophet doesn't even come outside. He sends a messenger out to talk to him. And he goes, oh, okay, so here's what Elisha had to say. He's busy right now doing some God stuff. We're not really sure. But anyways, here's what he had to say. He said, if you go to Jordan and you dip yourself in there 7 times, then you'll be clean. Number one, he didn't have the courtesy to come out and talk to me as a man. He sent somebody else. And then he's going to give me this asinine idea of going down into the muddiest stream that exists in our part of the Middle East, and I'm going to get washed clean in that thing? No thanks. Pretty upset. Look what it says in verse number 11. Naaman was wroth. He's mad. I mean, and by human standards, I kind of get it. He's like, man, that is not what I expected. I expected when I came to church, you tell me how wonderful I was and how beautiful I am and how there's no one like me. And all those things might be true, except for the no one like you. I don't know. I don't know. That's just 7 billion people on the planet. There is no one like you. I guess, can I get that one? Can you give me one on that one? Is that okay? I guess there is no one like you. That's true. But listen, you may have felt like, man, I come to church, I want to feel good about me. And here's this guy getting up, running around like a fool, saying, I'm a sinner. Is there not a better way to do this? Well, this is just weird. Why would any of you come and listen to some guy yap for 45 minutes to an hour about how you need help? You know what the world looks at and they go, this makes no sense. You know what Naaman said when he heard what the prophet had to say? This makes no sense. I'm done with this. And he got upset. But do you know what he had to learn to do? He had to be willing to humble himself. You know what pride will do? Pride will tell you, I'm okay the way I am. I don't need to change. Yeah, that Jesus stuff works for other people, not me. I'm religious. I don't need that salvation stuff. I'm good just the way I am. You know what pride will do? Pride will keep you dirty. And it may be clean on the outside, but you're not clean on the inside. You know what Jesus says? Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You want to be saved. You want your sins washed away. You want to get cleaned up. You know what it takes? It takes you, as look what it says here in verse number 14. The Bible says in verse 14, then went he where? You know what he learned to do? He learned to humble himself and say, you know what? Here's the reality. The reality is, I got mad at the preacher because his message made no sense, and I thought he was going to flatter me because I'm a great man, I'm a mighty man, I'm honorable, I've got a great career, and I've got this one issue, but I thought he would have overlooked that and given me honor and prestige, and all he tells me to do is go wash myself in a muddy river, and I didn't like that, but you know what? I'm going to give it a shot because everything else I've tried hasn't worked anyways. Can I ask you a question? If religion works, why are you still dirty? Why does your conscience still tell you there's something wrong? I'll tell you why that is. Because until you're willing to practice humility and listen to what God has for you, you can't get clean. Do you understand there's no proud people in heaven? Do you understand that? No one is going to get up there and go, hey, Joe, look at all the great stuff I did to get here. Man, I was great. Did I tell you I was great, by the way? I was. I'm great. Okay, all right. And no one's going to get up there and be like, man, look at what I did. You know what the theme of heaven is going to be? How great thou art, how great thou art. It's not going to be a big, let's praise each other fest. It's going to be about Jesus Christ. You say, why? Because God became a man and he lived a sinless life and then he went to a cross and he became sin so that you could be clean. And if you reject that, the deal is this. You've got to stay dirty forever and ever when all that God wanted was for you to be clean with him forever. There's a story in the New Testament about some men that have leprosy and they go and they listen to the words of Jesus. And when one of them comes back, you know what he does? He falls down at the feet of Jesus. It means that he humbled himself. You know what the Bible says? God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Pride will convince you that you're fine when you're slowly dying from something that's on the inside. It's called sin. It'll convince you can find your own way. Do you know what happens when someone repeats? I didn't author these words. I'm simply repeating what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Kind of hard to misinterpret that. If I got up and I said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to go to heaven, you come through me. That would be a pretty bold statement, and I kind of think you would walk away thinking I'm either a liar or I'm a lunatic or I am who I say I am. And those are your options with Jesus Christ. And listen, Jesus said those very things. I am the way, the truth, and life. You know what that means? I've got to humble myself and say, Lord, if that's true, then I will dump my own self-righteousness, what I think was enough to get me to heaven. I'll put that aside, and I'll take you. You know what Naaman had to do? He had to get down before he could get up. Look at verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You see, what did he do? He placed his faith in what God said. Over in Luke chapter 8, there's a story about a lady that she had a disease, and she had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she was sick, and the Bible says she spent all her money trying to figure it out. And one day, you know what she does? She just gets close enough to Jesus to touch the hem. That's just the very border of his garment. And it wasn't a religious experience as much as it was a touch from God in her life that helped her. Can I say it this morning? We've got a number of people that are taking the step of getting baptized, but the baptism is not what saved them. What saved them was placing their faith in what Jesus said was necessary for their salvation. And if you're here today, can I say this? The greatest thing you could do is accept Jesus Christ. What a great day to have your sins washed away. The day you became independent from your past and independent from self-righteousness was the day we celebrate the birthday of our day. What a great day to do that. You could be saved today. All, listen to me. This is how it works, all right? This is the deal. All your sins could be put aside and washed away. And God says, I'm going to give you the ultimate reset button on life. You start over. Isabella, Michaela, aren't you glad you did that? Yeah, I don't expect them to go, amen, but I can hear you. I can hear you. All right, Sean, aren't you glad you did that? Amen. Amen. All right, aren't you? I go around the room and ask you, aren't you glad you got saved? Jenny, aren't you glad before you go off to the military, you know that your home is in heaven? You know where you say, why is that? Because they were willing to hear the word of God, admit there was a problem, be humble enough to say, I can't do this myself, and place their faith in what Jesus said was enough to save their soul. Can I ask you a question? If you could get to heaven on your own, why would Jesus Christ have died? The reason he died was to pay for your sins. A man lives by believing something, not by debating and arguing about many things. I'm asking you this afternoon, what do you believe? What do you believe? Well, I just think, and I just believe, and but how does it line up with what God says in his word? How does it line up with what God says is necessary to be saved? He did not say, join a church and you'll be saved. Get baptized and you'll be saved. You know what? Someone asked a great question around 2,000 years ago. They asked the Apostle Paul, what must I do to be saved? You know what the answer was? It was not be a good person, turn over a new leaf, get baptized. You know what the answer was? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You want to be saved? You want your sins washed away? You want a reset button on life? You want to start over, as the Bible says, as a new creature in Christ? You could have all of that. You say, what do I got to do? Where's the catch? Preacher, you got me? You got my attention. Where's the catch? Oh, I guess I know what it is. I got to put a bunch of money in the offering plate. Nope. No. You're not going to buy God off. Like, I don't know. I know there's people that believe that. That's not how it works with God. You are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not going to buy God off with your money. You think God needs our money? That's the American way. Just throw money at it. It doesn't work with God. And what I'll tell you, you say, what's the only thing that doesn't work with God? I'll tell you what it is. You admit you're a sinner. You understand there's a penalty for sin, and that penalty is an eternal penalty because the crime is against an eternal God, and you recognize, I don't want to pay that penalty. I don't want to go and suffer in a place called hell. Let me tell you this. God never designed your life to end that way. He does not desire that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And you go, okay, preacher, I get it. I'm a sinner, and I'm on the wrong path, and I know where I'm going, but I don't want to go there. How do I get out of it? It's really simple. You acknowledge that you're a sinner. And you say, Lord, I know you're the only one that can save me. You did all the work that could be done to save anyone's soul. And I trust you. I believe in you as my Savior. Go to Romans chapter 10 and we'll be done with the message. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Normally when I say we'll be done with the message, I at least get one amen. Oh, there it is. Romans chapter number 10. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be, everybody say it together, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what?
Salvation.
You know what you need? You don't need a religion. You don't need to be a Baptist. You need to get born again. You don't need to get baptized. You need to get washed in something else beside water. You need to get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that could be yours right now. Let's all stand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As the piano player comes, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you might be religious. Listen, you might even have been baptized before. But if you have a question in your mind about whether or not you're saved, you're not sure if you died right now, whether you'd be in the presence of God. The Bible says to be absent from the body for believers is to be present with the Lord. If you're wondering about that and you're like, man, I'm trying to live a good life. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm like that Naaman guy. I'm like Cornelius. I'm doing what I know to do, but I don't know. Can I say this? The message is not intended to beat you up, but rather to show you the way. I can appreciate human to human your attempt to know God. But I have to be honest with you, as a believer of the Word of God, as a preacher, I've got to tell you, that in and of itself doesn't save you.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask a simple question. It's been asked before. It'll be asked probably many times more. If you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are a born-again child of God, your sins have been washed away, heaven is your home, God is your Father, would you be willing to just, no one's looking around, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, raise your hand, go, yep, that's me. God's looking, preacher's looking, hands all over the place, that's good. And I'm not tallying, I'm not going through and isolating who didn't raise their hand, but I'll just ask you this question. If you're not sure, would you be willing to at least do like Naaman and acknowledge there's a problem? Say, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you be honest enough before you, between you and God to slip your hand up and go, I'm not saved? Anybody here that like that? I won't point you out, I promise. Between you and God. And I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know. But I'd like to be. I'd like to know my sins are forgiven. I'd like to know that heaven is my home. See, man, I don't want to embarrass myself. Let me just say it like this. No one's going to embarrass you. If you raise your hand, you'll just acknowledge what every single person here that is saved has already acknowledged. We're all sinners. God wants you to be with him forever. He offers you salvation for free. You can't work for it. He wants to give it to you. Christian, can I ask you a question? Are things right between you and God? Are you clean? You say, well, preacher, I thought you just said once you get saved, you're clean. Yeah, but in this flesh, we let things get in the way of our fellowship with God. We don't lose our salvation. But believer, can I say this? Jesus sat there and washed the disciples' feet because their feet were dirty. Are your feet dirty, Christian? Are there some things in your life that maybe need some cleaning, need some attention? Can I encourage you to get those things confessed between you and God? Just maybe talk with him about that now. Kind of have a lot of our altar space taken up today. That's for a good reason. So if you don't want to come forward, that's all right. You can pray where you're at. But let me ask you something, Christian. Is your fellowship with God as good as it should be right now? Are you closer to him or further from him than you were a year ago? Are you telling more people about him or less? Is the word of God more real to you or less real to you? Are eternal things more present in your life? Are you making your decisions based on eternal values or just based on the here and now? That'll tell you whether things are dirty or whether they're clean. And you know the blessing of it is? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me just say this as we close the service here in a moment and get ready to baptize these that have come to do so. You can't stand before God and say, I never heard. I didn't know. Salvation is such a simple message. Admit you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. And call on him, ABC, call on him to save you today. See, I don't know how to pray the right prayer. Let me just say this. One time, Peter's walking on water and he falls in. You know the story. Many of you know the story. He falls because he starts looking at the wind and the waves and he falls and he crashes in the water. And you know what he says? It's a real simple prayer. He said, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached down his hand and picked him up. You may not even know how to pray, but you could say that much and acknowledge that you need him to be your Savior, and he'll hear you. What a blessing to have a God like that. All right. I'm going to ask those that are getting baptized, if you would go ahead and be dismissed and head downstairs. Parents, if you want to go with those that are younger, we're gonna sing a song because I don't have to get down and change until they're about done. So let's go ahead and grab our hymnals real quick. Go ahead and let's see here. Speak, O Lord. What number is that? Speak. What is it? 513 in your red hymnal. 513 in the red hymnal. Those who are getting baptized, make your way downstairs to get changed. All right? 513 in the red. 513.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and your purity. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity, and by grace will stand on your promises, and by faith will walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. All right, number two, come Christians, join to sing. Number two, come Christians, join to sing. All right, we'll sing one verse out of there. We got some folks who are still changing, so we're going to sing one more song. Number two, come Christians, join to sing. Thank you.
Come, Christians, join to sing. Alleluia, amen. Loud praise to Christ our King. Alleluia, amen. Let all with heart and voice before his throne rejoice. Praise is his gracious choice. Alleluia, amen.
All right, if you would be seated, you can just enjoy some music for a moment. I will go ahead and get ready, and then we'll go ahead and start baptismal service. Yeah. Yes, ladies, go ahead and get your kids out of the nursery.
Thank you.
friends and family watching online, so I want to make sure. Am I good here? Is this on? Testing, testing. There we go. All right. So I just want to thank all of you that came today to be a part of this special service. And we have quite a bit of our church family not here, out in different, you know, some are sick and some are. Brother Billy and Miss Cindy, if you're watching, thank you, because without you, today would also not be possible. Brother Billy, and if it wasn't for his influence, our church would not even be here. So that said, what they're doing here in just a moment, and I've been practicing, Awen and Ayana. Is that right? Whew. You started laughing. I thought I did it wrong. Okay, good. All right. And Isabella, Michaela, and Sonny, what they're doing today is not just a, like, a notch on the belt or a rung up the ladder to get into heaven. What they're doing is they're coming publicly before friends, and hopefully not enemies, all right, and family, and basically to know that Jesus is my Savior. I've already been saved. I trusted him as my Savior. I'm going to do what Jesus said to do, to show on the outside, right, what happened to me on the inside, I did get saved. And so for that reason, they're buried in baptism, and we raise them back up, all right? And normally, I think I joked about this before, we keep the teenagers down a little bit longer, right, just to make sure. Isaac, remember that? Yeah, it was good for you, wasn't it? Yeah. Also, I am, like, holding on this microphone for dear life. Anyways, thank you again for being a part of this day. I allow those that are coming to do this, if they would like to say anything before they get baptized, to do so, because obviously this is their day to profess publicly on the outside what happened to them on the inside when they became a new creature in Christ. And I cannot emphasize enough that this is not their salvation. It is a picture. It is a symbol of their salvation. And so as they come and they get baptized, all right, what they're doing is they're showing Christ died for their sins and was buried and rose again. And they got saved. The old them with all their sins was erased. And they were given a new life in Christ to start all over. And that's what this is all about. So let's have our first convert. All right, so let's have Awen and Ayana, ladies first. Come on up. All right, so we'll have you come in one at a time. So you want to come first? Okay, come on in. Okay, there you go. It's cold, huh? But at least it's not like 90 degrees like outside, huh? Yeah, that's the silver lining. So would you like me to? Okay, and would you like to say anything when I'm done? No. You're all ugly adults, huh? Scary. I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. Hey, listen. What she's coming forward to do here today is she's taking a step to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And just to give you a little testimony, especially for those in the back that can't see her, a couple weeks ago we were just out in our community giving the gospel out to people. And at the end of that, her and her sister both had questions about what it meant to be saved. And you got to appreciate childlike faith. There's just something beautiful about it. And they had obviously been thinking about it. They'd obviously been talking with mom and dad about it. That's very clear. And, you know, so I just showed them from the Bible, here's what it takes to be saved. And they wanted to pray and ask Jesus to save them, and they did. And it was just a sweet moment to have their parents there. So I'm thankful that you're Awen. You're Ayana. This is so hard. I'll get better at this, I promise, that Ayana wants to take the step to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So, you know what? I'll tell you one thing you could say. How about this? It's good to be saved. Can you say that?
It's good to be saved.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. All right. Brother Craig, if you would. Glasses on? Okay, you want to come on in? She's like, not really. go. There you go. All right. Sweetheart, is there anything you'd like to say? No? Are you glad you're getting baptized today?
Yeah.
Yeah? And Mommy didn't make you, did she?
No.
No.
And Daddy didn't either, did he?
No.
And the preacher didn't either, did he?
No.
No. Okay. So this is a free will thing. She's choosing on her own to do this, which is kind of important. What you find in the Bible is that anyone that ever gets baptized, they ask for it, right? They're asking to be baptized because they've made a conscious decision to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, Brother Craig, if you would. All right, you want to keep your glasses on? You want to take them off during this? Okay, we'll hand them to Brother Craig, okay? There you go. Very fancy, I like that. Let's take your right hand. Right, well, it doesn't matter which hand it is, it doesn't matter. Okay, let's plug your nose and I'll help you with it too, okay? Buried in the likeness of his death. Raised to the newness of life. I'm gonna tell you, we were at Isaac's graduation party, all right? And Brother Leonard, the food was great, by the way. Thank you. We were at Isaac's graduation party, and you know, there's that place in Acts 16 where the guy goes up to Paul and goes, "What must I do to be saved?" And it was one of those rare moments where something like that happened. And Sonny just said, "Hey, can I talk to you?" And I said, "Sure thing." And he said, "I want to bug you on your day off." I said, "I don't have days off. It's okay." And it was a Saturday, I think it was. And do you want to tell him what you did?
I got saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And he asked the Lord to save him. And thank God that God always does when we ask him for that, right? So we talked about baptism. He understands this is not salvation. It's a picture of his salvation. And it's an act of obedience to the Lord. So if you would... join me in praising God that Sonny is taking this step. And guys, let me tell you something. It's an awesome thing when young people get saved and follow the Lord and believe in baptism. Because what they're doing is going to publicly. How many young people want to publicly do that, be associated with Jesus Christ? It's an awesome, awesome thing. So I commend you for it, and I'm excited for you. Should I do the twins at the same time? Come on in, sweetheart. It's a little chilly.
I know.
I will tell you that your parents are here, right? Yeah. All right, there they are. Nice to see you. Nice to meet you. You have a very sweet couple of young ladies, and I want you to know that. They're sweet. They're a blessing. And I've just gotten to know them over the last few months. And I will tell you, and I don't mean this just, I'm not trying to embarrass you as parents, but you guys have instilled some character in your kids, and it's evident, and that's awesome. One of the things that came up in just some of our conversations a couple months ago was the fact that they knew about God, they believed in God, which is a great first step, but they weren't sure about their salvation, and they wanted to make sure of that. And so we kind of did like a two-for-one special, right? And they both got saved the same day. Do you remember what day that was? So what's your birthday? Okay, so Mom and Dad, what I'm hearing is she now has two birthdays. She expects two gifts. That's what I'm hearing, all right? So because Jesus says when you get saved, you're born again. So you get another birthday. So milk that as long as you can, all right? All right? But all these young ladies, and I'm very, very thankful that they're taking this step. You know, just pray for them to have discernment about boys they date. I'm kidding. You knew that was coming, didn't you? Yeah, all right. Well, I got it out. All right. Anything you want to say, sweetheart? No? Is it good to be saved?
Yes.
Yes. All right, good. Amen. All right, go. buried with him and he's dead and raised to walk and to life. Amen.
Te toca a ti.
All right. So, and now remind me, you guys graduated high school last year. So you get your lives ahead of you, right? And you pray for these young people that are in that stage. They're out of school. They're moving on to next steps. And they want to do what, I believe it sincerely, I believe we got some young people that want to do what God wants them to do with their lives. So can I ask you guys to pray for them?
Amen.
Pray that God would lead and guide them and put them in the right path with the right people and all that. I would say you're off to a great start. You got saved, you accepted Christ as your Savior. And I will tell you, Isabella, I've watched something in her and in her sister both. They have a desire for people in their life to know what they know about the Lord, about salvation. And that's an awesome thing for them. And again, Mom and Dad, I mean, this is a great moment for you guys. You're a blessing. And I don't know what the Lord has in store for you, but I think this is a great first step in light of that. Is there anything you'd like to say?
No. Committed now. Is it good to be saved?
It is.
Yeah.
It's great.
All right. And let me ask you this. You understand that this isn't going to save you, right? You understand that Jesus is the one that saved you, and this is a picture on the outside of what happened on the inside, right?
Correct.
All right.
Here you go. Didn't drop the mic in the water. All right. Go ahead and plug it to your right hand. Whichever hand. People are staring at you. I promise I won't leave you down there. Okay, Jesus didn't stay buried, so you're gonna come up. All right. I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of his death, and raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen. What an awesome day. So thankful for these that came to do this. Let's all stand. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to change, come back up, get their certificate. I've got one more thing for you. Brother Joe, would you come
at this time? And the reason I had you all stand is because even when you're standing, you can still see him even though you can't see me. Brother Joe, you are going in membership with the church, right?
Yes, sir. I got saved as a young kid and just trying to do my best to serve the Lord with the time he's given. Graduated from Bible school a couple years back, ended up moving here because I felt like it was what the Lord wanted me to do. So I want to stand with this church and say that I want to be a part of it, and I want to serve the Lord and be a part of however I can. So,
all those that are glad, would you say amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And what he's doing, just to be clear, he's not getting saved by joining the church here. He did that years ago when he was a kid. He's just saying, I believe in what this church believes. I believe in their mission, their goal to reach others with the gospel. I want to be a part of that. So we're glad that he's joining with us in membership. We're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer, and I encourage you as you go out. The kids will have some ice cream. Young people, if you want to go back and start doing your thing back there, we're going to get the ice cream table set up, and on your way out, you're welcome to get some ice cream.